Inside the Healing Room with Evangeline Hemrick. Today's episode of Inside the Healing Room is brought to you by Be True Wellness. The mission of Be True is to promote overall wellness through organic and natural products and supplements, and also to help people get off harmful prescription drugs. Visit BeTrueWellness.com, and that's BeTruWellness.com, and receive 15% off your first order for listening to the show. Use promo code HEALINGROOM15 at the time of purchase. My guest on the show today is Julie Wilson Gordon, my cousin, and owner and president of Be True Wellness. Julie's passion for health came after enduring severe gastrointestinal disorders and stress that resulted from the stressors of being a single mom and working really hard. After several years of relying on doctors and prescription medicines, she decided to do some research on natural ways to heal her body. After just 6 months of implementing severe changes to her diet and lifestyle, she felt like an entirely new person. This gave her a deep passion to share her knowledge with the world and continue to research the miraculous powers that lie within plant foods and herbs. In 2008, she formed her own herbal company called Raw Nation. Her company's debut product, Hot Rocks, was the first and only raw, certified organic libido enhancement supplement on the market. Julie's commitment to quality organic products, combined with an edgy mainstream marketing campaign, helped her achieve mainstream national publicity and led to exposure on Sirius Radio, Fox Television, Don Imus, ESPN, and ABC's Dancing with the Stars, just to name a few. In 2013, Julie sold Raw Nation and decided to focus on her family. She relocated to Los Angeles, where she soon met several people who had miraculously transformed their health using non-psychoactive hemp extract. Julie's entrepreneurial spirit was ignited once again, and Be True Wellness was born. In this interview, we cover a lot of different topics, not just her healing story and her wellness business, but also the struggles of being a single mom and a business owner. And we even get a little bit into the spiritual side of things. So I hope you enjoy the interview.
I am here so excited today with one of my favorite people in the entire universe, Julie Wilson Gordon. Welcome to the Healing Room.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to finally be here.
Well, I've been wanting to do this with you for a long time, and finally, everything has aligned for you to be here with me.
I'm so grateful for that. And tomorrow's Thanksgiving, so I'm even more grateful that I get to be here with you to celebrate and to be in the Healing Room. This is exciting.
Yay. I have been wanting this. You know, you and I have learned to just kind of flow with what the energy is supporting and be okay when it doesn't happen. It's been all the way about 6 months now. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to do this. So the day has finally arrived, and I thank you for being here with me.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
You know, I love you so much. You're not only my friend, my family. I was blessed to be born into a relationship with you. But we have been through so many changes and so much transformation together that I thought it would be really good to record one of our conversations because we have some really good ones.
We do. We do. We always say if we could only record our conversations, this is very some of the things we talk about. It's really fascinating.
And I know there's going to be more things than I can even pack into one interview, but for starters, would you tell us a little bit about your healing story? You've had a pretty phenomenal wake-up call transformation in your life.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. And I always say I'm going to make a long story short, but otherwise I'd take up the entire hour because, or longer, because my journey, as you know, has been more than just a simple change here and there. I mean, it was a long time to get me to totally transform. And I'm still transforming the healing journey. I'm still on this journey. And I think that's really important for people to understand. They hear stories from other people who have healed themselves or who have transformed their health in some way, shape, or form. And so they want to run out and buy that diet book, or they want to run out and do that exercise. And I always like to preface my story by telling people, you know, this is a journey that I'm still on. And when you make a decision one day that you want to heal yourself or just take your health into your own hands, it's, you know, not something that is just a magic diet. Or so my story might not work for everyone, but it worked for me. So I think the key thing is to learn what works for your body and to listen to your body and go from there. And obviously that's what you always talk about with what you do with energy healing and everything else, is empowering people to heal themselves, and everyone's different. Mm-hmm. So with me, my challenge my entire life has been digestive disorders. Honestly, since I was a baby. I mean, my mom even told me. Sometimes I wonder if, like when I was being developed, that like in as a fetus even, that maybe something just didn't develop right, because mm-hmm. I've just always had problems there. And it just got worse and worse as I got older. Of course, with stress comes flare-ups. I went to doctor after doctor and finally was diagnosed with, well, first it was IBS, then they told me spastic colon, then I had a doctor tell me that I had Crohn's disease. And honestly, now looking back, I don't even know if they knew what I had. You know, I meet people who have Crohn's disease and they're like, oh, you had Crohn's disease. I said, I don't even know. And you know what? Your doctor might not even know either, because it does develop scar tissue in your intestines. There is, it is an autoimmune disorder. But I don't necessarily believe that autoimmune diseases are not reversible. I definitely think they are. I've seen it. But once again, everyone's different and what works for them. But your immune system is attacking itself for a reason. And so with me, learning how to cope with the symptoms was getting worse and worse. And anybody who knows, you know, who's experienced one bad episode of a chronic stomach condition, let's say you've had a bug or something, you know how horrible that is. Imagine dealing with that almost every day of your life. And everything has to be thought out from, you know, I got to know where the closest bathroom is, you know. I got to always be focused about, should I eat, should I not? Because, you know, if you're on a date with somebody, that's the last thing you want to have happen. Mm. So it really overtakes your life, not to mention the pain, the chronic pain, the episodes I would get into. Sometimes I'd be in a fetal position from the pain. And during this time, I was a single mom working two jobs. So it really wasn't convenient for me. And I went to a doctor. He told me basically I needed to get the scar tissue cut out of my intestines, and said there's no other way. There's no way that this is going to go away without some sort of surgery. I did not like that opinion, so I went to another doctor. And she was an amazing woman, gave me the same diagnosis. Got to cut it out. There's no other way to get it out. Now, I'm no doctor, but I do know that when you cut into the body, what happens? More scar tissue develops. It's right. It's the body's way of going to that area and healing it. So I couldn't wrap around in my mind that cutting out scar tissue was going to fix the problem. Because I told the second doctor that I met with, I said, if you cut it out and more scar tissue just develops, but you're not helping me fix why the scar tissue is there in the first place,
yeah,
then where am I going to be 5 years from now? And she said, I will never forget this. She said, you will ultimately have to have all of your intestines removed probably before the age of 40. Now, hearing that at 25 is not something, you know, at 25, I thought 40 was ancient. But suddenly when you hear that you're going to have a colostomy bag at that age, it doesn't sound too old anymore. You know, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not that old. And it really got me thinking. So I'm sorry, I know I said I was going to make a long story short, and I'm getting to the point here. But what that did for me was, instead of booking that surgery and letting them cut into me, I decided I was going to research any possible way that I could to heal that before I made that decision. I didn't take it off the table, but I put it on the back burner. I said, I've lived with this my whole life. I can live with it another couple weeks. Let me see what I can find out. And And I literally drove to the bookstore. And that's what I did. I spent an entire afternoon perusing the bookstore aisles. And I happened to, by, you know, serendipitous chance, be turned on to a book about the raw food diet. That led me to another book about juicing and cleansing, led me to another book. And I couldn't believe what I was reading and how I didn't realize how my diet was probably not only, I'm not going to say it even caused it, but just exacerbated it to the point of making it worse and worse. I wasn't nourishing my body. Mm-hmm. I was eating goldfish crackers and Diet Dr. Pepper. That was my life. I couldn't even drink water back then. So I immediately, you know me, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it all or nothing. And I immediately really threw away my pots and pans. I focused on doing raw foods, which, you know, if anybody's had Crohn's, they tell you not to eat raw vegetables. But I was blending and juicing and taking them in small amounts and then increasing. And it was only about, honestly, about 6 months that I had a complete transformation in my health. And it didn't get better right away. That's the other thing I like to tell people. Sometimes your symptoms will get worse when your body's healing itself. It's like, you know, we were sitting in the sauna this morning. You know, I had that rash that came up and then went away.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're detoxing your body, these symptoms will flare up because it's your body pushing toxins and disease out. So I definitely would, I'm not going to say, oh, I miraculously overnight felt amazing, because it was definitely a transformation that took about 6 months before I got to that place of feeling great. And I went back to the doctor, had a barium x-ray, and she couldn't believe it. She was floored. She said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. I had virtually no scar tissue left in my stomach, which is pretty incredible. So now I'm 41, and I'm proud to say I don't have a colostomy bag, as you know. And my life has been much better. And all because I decided to take a few minutes and not decide to cut. Like I said, I didn't put it off the table. But I said, later, let me figure this out first. And I think that that's the thing that we need to do. And that's what I love what you're doing here, is teaching people to, once again, like I said, take the reins of their own health. Instead of going, and I'm not discrediting medical doctors. They're amazing and they're there for a reason and we need them sometimes. But constantly, every sniffle, every time you stub your toe, we're going to a doctor and asking them what to do for us. When a lot of times we can... No, we know better than them at times, really.
Yeah. And the way I recall this whole transformation that you had, it's really interesting to me how we were side by side healing our lives, watching each other and having a shared experience, even though our symptoms were unique mm-hmm. to us, but we were learning and changing so much at the same time. But I remember you pretty much were self-teaching. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. there wasn't really anyone telling you what to do or how to do it. You were putting in the time and researching, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you want to rebuild an engine in your car, you're not just going to go out there and wing it. You know, you're not going to ask your neighbor who's a mechanic, hey, show me how to do this step by step. You know, you're going to have to read and figure out and teach yourself how to be a mechanic. And if that's just a vehicle, our body is 1,000 times more advanced and sophisticated than a machine, like a car. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to research and really get to know your own body and how, just like you would your car. You're driving your car and you hear a rattle. You take it to the mechanic. The mechanic's like, I don't hear a rattle. It sounds fine. But you know there's a rattle because it's your car and you're used to every sound. Your body's the same way. You wake up. And you go to sleep every day in your body. It's your vehicle. So you know when something's off. So, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to figure it out. There are people that helped me. You know, I always give credit to David Wolf because he wrote one of the first books that really led me on this journey of transformation. But there's so many other people than just him. And I started going to retreats. I started going to, you know, doing juice fast camps and seminars and going because I was so fascinated with what it did to me, that I wanted to be in this world of these people that have. Then it's so funny, you know, when you buy a black Volkswagen Jetta, everybody seems to have a black Volkswagen Jetta, you know what I mean? But you never saw it before then. Once you heal your body and you get to this place of health, you start meeting people that have cured themselves of cancer and cured themselves of, and they just start coming out of the woodworks. Of course, you're putting out that vibration, so you're attracting those kind of people. But I would be sitting on the plane next to somebody who, like, reversed diabetes naturally. I would have never been sitting on the plane next to someone like that when I was eating Diet Dr. Pepper and Goldfish. So, you know, it's just, it's interesting. So I was starting to meet people like that and go to these retreats and seminars and learning from other people and just finding out how many people out there who have done the same thing I have, and made me really excited.
If someone's listening that is so overwhelmed because they're in a lot of pain, they don't know what they should be eating, because you and I have certainly proven over time all bodies are not the same. We can't, the two of us, we can't eat the same. We love the same things, but we can't eat the same food and feel the same results. Mm-mm. We're different. Mm-hmm. So that whole daunting process of figuring yourself out, where should someone start?
That's a great question, and honestly, a very important question, because that's what I get from a lot of people who are, they're overwhelmed. And nowadays with the internet and WebMD and, you know, not only even that, but like just books everywhere, and everybody's got a solution. You know, today it's keto, tomorrow it's, you know, Atkins, and it's high carb, and everybody's got a solution, and even raw food. It's all different, you know, solutions for different people. But the first advice I always give people is don't get overwhelmed, and don't go trying to find that one, like I said, that one diet or exercise or something that's going to transform you. What you need to do is start one day at a time. I know a lot of people who've went through AA and found sobriety, right? And one thing that keeps people sober is they don't think about being sober 10 years from now. They think about staying sober today. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, you get overwhelmed when you think, oh God, I don't know if I can do this for 10 years, or oh, I have to be a vegetarian, or oh my. No, just today. What are you going to do today that's going to be a healthier change for you? And not everybody can do the all or nothing. Like I did, it's very challenging and it will set you in super detox. And I don't actually recommend that for most people. I say start slow and start with, let's take refined sugars, sugar and refined flour out of your diet. Let's start with that today. See how you feel. Keep a journal. If you're not moving, start walking. Don't worry about doing, you know, joining a class and doing 2-hour workouts every day, or doing these, you know, core Pilates and all the stuff that people get really, you know, into. Start walking today. And then tomorrow, do something else. And then each day, but don't go online, don't research. I mean, definitely research. I'm not saying not do that, but don't get overwhelmed because there's so much information.
And you were just so passionate about learning, weren't you? You soaked it in and would stay up late at night, I remember. And you were educating and empowering yourself. And that took a while.
It did. It did. And I found, you know, I talked about David Wolf earlier, but it was one of his books early on that I couldn't put down. Like, I didn't want to go to sleep. And sometimes I get bored when I read things, you know, and that's what puts me to sleep. But this book, I couldn't, because I was so excited. I felt like I had tapped into source. Like, this was information that I was starving for. Mm-hmm. And somehow I had manifested it at exactly the right time. And, you know, I'm not saying that everyone's going to be interested in this kind of thing to that kind of passion, but you will find information that will be life-changing, and that's exciting.
I love people's healing stories.
I know, me too.
I love wake-up calls, transformation, aha moments.
I love it too. That's why I love to read about rock stars who are sober now, like read their journey of heroin addiction and death, the darkness of all dark, you know? Yeah. And the transformation that they have, and to have clarity and sobriety in their lives, is just amazing to me.
So do you have any particular, because I know we all have so many wake-up calls. I mean, they keep happening, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have one and that's it. But any pivotal moments that you can think of that you want to share that were just total game changers?
I mean, I've had a lot over the years, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think I call you probably once a week and say, I just had an epiphany. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's constant. you know, I think having that doctor, the medical doctor, when I went back 6 months later, when she told me, this is unbelievable. Like, you have like hardly any scar tissue left. To hear those words was very affirming. And I will never forget that day. And, you know, it's not even like there are people that have had way worse stories than mine that are stage four cancer that are, you know, on their deathbed and they've turned their lives around. So for me to have felt so elated over something like that, which digestive problems are a big issue because that's your plumbing. But when I think like I could have lived with that disease, There are people that are dying and they've turned their lives around. It's like, but for me at that particular moment, that was a very big wake up moment for me. And that fueled me even more. And you know what happened to me after that? I got pretty annoying. I mean, I was a little self-righteous about diet and stuff. Do you remember? Like,
no, because we were kind of going, yeah, we were fueling each other's growth a lot at that point. And we just started out normal kids. I mean, I remember how we used to eat and it horrifies me now. But now I feel like we don't make the highest choices all the time, but we put the time in to know our bodies. And that's the difference. Not like we always do everything right.
No. And I'm glad you brought that up because that's the other thing. Because people come to me and they're like, oh, does this mean I'm never going to be able to eat birthday cake again? Or I'm never going to be able to have a steak again? And I'm like, absolutely not. That's the beautiful thing about healing your body. When your body is healthy and thriving, you can introduce that kind of crap every now and then. And you're going to be fine. Your body will process it, get rid of it. It's like you don't get heavy metal poisoning from a little bit of heavy metal exposure. It's constant. You know, you're not going to get hormonal problems from, you know, a little bit of fluctuation. It's when it's constant, when you're fueling your body every day. But here's the beautiful thing. And I know you know what I'm talking about here. And I don't tell this to people when they ask me that question. I just tell them, of course, you're going to be able to enjoy that every now and then. But the little detail I leave out is you're not going to want to.
Right.
You're not going to want to anymore. It's not going to be nearly as fun and as enjoyable as it used to be to you right now because you're addicted to it.
I love that. It's so true because our lives have not gotten less pleasurable the healthier we've gotten. We have not given up pleasure. We would never.
No. Are you kidding me? More pleasure.
Yeah. And what gives you pleasure changes.
And you don't understand what it's like to really have no energy until you have energy. True. Like having energy, that's the thing that everybody complains about. I'm so tired. I have no energy. I'm like, how are you fueling your body? How are you sleeping? Do you move or are you sitting all day? Are you eating, you know, are you just fueling yourself with Red Bull and Starbucks and like just jacking up your nervous system? Like all of these things. And then when you get that pure state of blissful energy, and then you're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to have a steak with some birthday cake. And then your energy dives and you're tired the next day and you're swollen. You're like, whoa, this is how I used to feel all the time.
Yeah.
I don't want that anymore.
Yeah. And it's so nice to be able to celebrate with you where we've been, where we are now, and where we're going, that we're still learning. Mm-hmm. We're still growing and figuring things out all the time. That doesn't stop, does it?
Every day. That's why I said it's a journey. It's a fun journey.
Is there anything you now, vibrantly healthy, you know a lot more than you knew 15 years ago or whenever that was? When you were 25, did you say? Mm-hmm. That's about when everything started changing. Anything you would tell that you, if you could go back and give a little piece of advice, like as you were just starting out, anything you know now that you wish you'd known then?
You know, I also fought with some depression back then. I didn't really show it to the outside world. But, you know, I was going through a really rough time with my sons, with my father, with my ex-husband. You know, I was really struggling to make ends meet. And, you know, I've always been fairly in a good mood. But I had some moments there where there were some days I didn't want to get out of bed. And looking back, I would just say, it's going to be okay. Like, you got this. And your life is going to be better, you know. And like I said, I wasn't one to feel sorry for myself, or But there were moments that it was real hard for me to go forward. And, you know, even especially when I was going through detoxing and everything else, but I would just tell myself to just stay strong and don't give up. Just all it takes is that one foot in front of the other. Like I said, only worry about today.
Yeah.
You know?
And let's talk about that. Let's talk about you raising your beautiful son by yourself, which makes me want to cry because you are so amazing as a mom and an entrepreneur at the same time. It's incredible. And I know there's a ton of women out there that struggle as they're raising their children and they're going, how do I do this? Or they have a dream. They want to do a business. You've done both of those things. You've started your own company two times now.
What am I thinking? I'm crazy.
What's that been like for you?
First of all, I want to say I'm very lucky that I have family and friends. So I didn't feel like I was totally alone raising my son. I mean, I do feel like I was obviously alone in a lot of ways. But if there are people that don't have parents like mine, that don't have family around them like I did, that could come in and help. And I'm super blessed. My parents, if it weren't for them, I don't know what I would have done. So my hat really goes off to women out there that don't have a family support system, because it was so hard even with them helping. And I really didn't realize till they moved away how much they helped me. And I was like, wow, you know, they moved away and Cameron was a little older. He was like 14, I think. But, you know, so I want to just say that I'm very grateful for that. But having to be the mother and a father is really difficult. And I think that that's what helped fuel my entrepreneurial side, because I've always kind of had that, you know. Mm-hmm. But having to step into that father role, because there wasn't one for my son, gave me more balls, for lack of a better word. Can I say that on here? To do things like that, because I wasn't always being that maternal role. I was having to step into both. So when you're having to step into both, then you have a little bit more, I don't want to use the word aggression because that's not a good word, but you're a little bit more masculine.
Yeah. Strong.
And so it helped fuel me. And I wanted a better life for him. I wanted to be able to have more freedom to be there for him more, because that's the other thing we talk about. When you're a mother and an entrepreneur, especially for young children, especially as a single mom, something's going to suffer. You can't support a kid on your own and be there for them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when you're the sole breadwinner and you're the caretaker, you know, and what I noticed happen with me is it felt like I lacked in both departments, because I would be home with my son and I would feel guilty because I wasn't out with, you know, 100% into my business. And then when I would be traveling and on the road with my business, I'd feel guilty that I wasn't there with my son. So, I mean, it's definitely a pull that you have. And it's one of my goals to try to help single moms who want to start a business. That's one of my big goals I want to do later in my life, because, you know, having a support system, not just financially, but to help get you through that, because there's just so many young moms that want to do that and can't.
Wow. That's incredible. And you've always had that entrepreneur spirit. We share that too.
It's in our blood.
Yeah.
Our whole family, pretty much.
Your dad's proud. My dad is proud somewhere, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Our dads are brothers. What drives you? What makes you want to change the world from a business perspective?
I really want to answer this truthfully without sounding like a cliche, but it's going to come out that way. But I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I want to empower people. And you can't do that without sticking your neck out. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't, you know, I mean, we've talked about this. I want to empower people not only with products that are amazing that help their body, but with knowledge to help want to change their body and live a better life. I just feel like this whole world would be such a better place if everyone had great health and had compassion for one another, obviously. But I think, you know, the not being healthy is where a lot of problems stem from. I mean, that's a different rabbit hole I don't want to go down. But just to touch on it, I mean, the amount of pharmaceutical drugs we're pumping in our bodies from a young age, to the chemicals, to the disconnection from the earth, to the EMFs that coming from all of the cell phones and plugging ourselves in, we're being separate from Mother Earth. And all of these things are affecting our brain. I mean, this is science here. I'm not pulling this out of the air. It's affecting our brains. Everyone has anxiety, depression, kids, ADD, all this stuff. Let's medicate. And how do we know those long-term effects? I mean, we don't. And we're starting to see the results of that. And it's a combination of fake food, drugs, disconnection, EMFs. I mean, it's all the above. It's not just one thing to blame. Everybody's like, oh, it's the cell phones, or oh, it's all just the processed food. I think it's all of that. And what I want to do is empower people to understand that and to try to get back a little bit to, listen, you can't totally get out of this first world we live in. And who wants to? I mean, we have a lot of great developments here. But to be able to not be so, the pendulum needs to kind of land in the middle. Not be so far one way or the other.
Absolutely. And that's totally why I wanted to bring you on the show, to help create awareness for the education that you're putting out there. What you're doing right now, tell us a little bit about Be True and a little bit about what's got you so lit up, what's got you so passionate and inspired.
Well, Be True Wellness is my company. We make all hemp-based pain relief products. And it's more than just pain relief, but everybody's in pain, you know, with the opiate addiction now. And when I first moved to California, I moved there 3 years ago. And, you know, I have been in this natural healing path for how long now? 15, 20 years. I mean, I started my first company when I was 30. So 10 years ago, and then developed that, sold that business, but that was a supplement company. You know, I did the first organic libido enhancer with raw ingredients and really transformed people with that product. All of these years and all of this, from healing my own body to developing supplements and herbal products to selling that company, I still didn't even scratch the surface of one particular plant, hemp. I knew nothing about it, other than, oh, it makes great ropes. It's sustainable. I know that hemp seeds are a great source of protein. Mm-hmm. Marijuana, it's not my plant. I don't condemn people that use it. It's never been my plant. I don't like the way it makes me feel. For me, it takes away my motivation. So unless I'm dealing with an advanced stage disease or something horrific like epilepsy, maybe I would go to the cannabis, like the marijuana plant. But so I just didn't go there. I didn't research that plant for those reasons. Moving to California, obviously, you know, it's everywhere. And I started researching it more because I met a gentleman who had totally healed his body using CBD, which is stands for cannabidiol, which is the non-psychoactive part of the plant. Now, THC is the psychoactive part. CBD is the non-psychoactive. What I didn't realize was that our body produces CBD on its own. We have the same cannabinoid receptors in our endocannabinoid system that's in the cannabis plant. That blew me away because, you know, I'm like an herb nerd. I love that information. So when I started realizing that there was health benefits to this plant that did not involve getting you high, I was sold. So digging more into it, finding out about hemp extract, hemp oil, not marijuana, but from hemp, which is the male version of the plant. Cannabis is the Latin name, right?
Right.
And then you have marijuana and you have hemp, which is both the same plant. Marijuana is the female version and hemp is the male version. That's the difference between the two. Now, marijuana, as we all know, has the THC, which makes you high. Hemp contains virtually no THC at all. You cannot get high from smoking hemp or eating hemp. You just can't. Even if you tried to smoke or eat a whole field of it, it just doesn't have. I always say, you know, marijuana is the female plant, and the female is crazy. Then you got the male plant is a little bit more calm. So using hemp and being able to take oils and extracts from that plant and then put it in products, because what it does for pain and inflammation is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And also with the brain and the nervous system, and, you know, I can't make claims. I have to be careful what I say, but we have clinical trials right now. So this is scientific stuff. Going in and supports your nervous system, supports the brain. I mean, we're looking at NFL players, the post-concussed brain, and the CTE and all the problems they deal with, is showing that these cannabinoids from the hemp plant is actually helping to regenerate their brain cells, which is unheard of. It's miraculous. And so I just wanted to create products that had this in it because no one really knows about this, not in the mainstream, certain areas. And it's still kind of unknown what these chemicals in this plant can do for your brain and your body. And I have people, right? I mean, we have four products right now, mind, body, soul, and our body consists of two products. Body pain relief is a topical cream. It's a pain relief cream. A body pain relief patch, which is a 12-hour time release patch, which is the best pain patch you will ever use. I put them on the bottom of my feet and I can stand at a trade show all day. Completely drug-free pain relief. And then we have a soul spray, which you spray under the tongue. It's more of an herbal supplement that we infuse with other amazing ingredients like ginseng, astragalus, goji berry. So it's just an overall adaptogenic blend. And then we have our chewable gummies, which are infused with vitamin D and some other things. So, you know, we took a lot of time to create these products and have supportive ingredients in them that work synergistically with the hemp extract. But it's amazing to me to get letters from people. And they're off their opiates. You know, once again, I can't make claims. I just have to preface that. Mm-hmm. But I will say that if one person in this country decides to get off opiates because of BeTrue Wellness, then I feel like I'm a huge success because that's what I want to do. I want to empower people to try to another route. I always tell people, if you got to go back in your pain meds, go ahead. But what do you have to lose? You can try something else. And people are so excited. Like I said before, you know, you don't understand how bad you feel until you feel good. Mm-hmm. You don't understand how drugged you are when you're taking these things every day until you're off of it and you have clarity again.
It's so exciting. I want to go deeper into the two supplement product companies that you've created. You founded your first supplement company in what? Was it 2009? What year was it?
I think it was 2007.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So tell us about why you chose to do the first raw organic libido enhancement supplement.
Well, you know that my background is marketing. That's what I'm strong in. And I was very fortunate enough to have worked for 6.5 years for Harley-Davidson Motor Company, which is the best, one of the best, if not the best, arguably, company in the world when it comes to branding. We're talking about a brand that knows how to create such passion and such raving fans that people tattoo it to their bodies. You don't see people with a Nike swoosh tattooed to their bodies. I mean, this is a different kind of a passion. And I learned from them... And not just sex sells or anything about that, but just creating that raving fan culture. And you gotta be a little edgy sometimes. And definitely when I worked for that company, they taught me how to push myself out of my comfort zone when it came to marketing and take some risks maybe that I wouldn't have before when I worked for a newspaper company. So, of course, taking that knowledge into developing herbal products. The one thing that I realized was wrong with that whole industry is they're all marketing to themselves.
You mean this, like the supplement sex industry? Oh, okay.
No, I'm sorry. The supplement industry. So here I am, somebody that has recently transformed my life with herbs and food and diet. And I'm seeing how there's a lot of nasty supplements out there.
Yeah.
Because I learned how to read labels now. I know what these ingredients are. I also learned the value of preserving these herbs and not heating them too high. And when I started learning how supplements were made, they heat them to extreme high temperatures. And if you ever heat a seed over a flame and plant it, it will never grow. It's dead. So how in the world could you take herbs that are so healing to the body, heat them at thousands of degrees temperature, some of them, and put them in a pill that's in this horrible gelatin coating and put magnesium stearate and colors and all this crap in there and sell it for $12.99 at Walmart, you know, a ginseng supplement. And then people wonder why herbs don't work.
Right.
So I was on a mission to create products that truly worked. And in order to do that, I had to make sure that my manufacturing process was in line with those principles, which meant I had to literally tour the whole country and find a place that didn't use those kilns, the heat. I had to find, you know, manufacturers that could drum dry the herbs at really low temperatures, get certified organic herbs, and, you know, high quality herbs, and then process them in a way that, you know, they kept their integrity. And then we have to, in order to fit everything into a capsule, we'd have to use what's called the sludging machine, which, you remember those, or do you remember those roller coasters at the amusement parks when you were a kid? And it used the serendipitous force or the centripetal force, excuse me, not serendipitous. And it would, you'd go round and round in a circle and then the floor would drop and yes. You'd stick to the wall.
Yes.
So a sludging machine is kind of like that. You put the herbs in this machine and it makes it so fast that they get compacted and then you're able to put it in capsules. So these are, I'm not going to bore you with the manufacturing process of herbs, but I'm telling you this for a reason, because not every pill is the same. And when I started researching this, I was a little disgusted with what people were selling these products, and they were crap. So I wanted to create the best products ever, but I wanted to market them to people that normally wouldn't want to buy those things. Like, if we're going to make a change in the world, you have to talk someone's language. And being immersed in this whole raw food, vegan, you know, natural healing world, I met a lot of people in that industry. And when I told them what I was planning on doing, there was a couple of them that were like, that's not the high vibe way to do it. Because I was going on Playboy Radio. I made these products that were, I wanted to come out with a libido enhancer first, because people's libidos, let's just be honest, I mean, nobody's in the mood. Everybody's stressed. Everybody's sick. The first thing that happens to your body when you're sick and stressed is that part of you gets shut down. Because as, you know, as living organisms, we're not really, you know, no animals in the wild procreate when they're sick. They die or they fast until they get better. But they definitely aren't out procreating. So we're the same way. So that's a part of your body that gets shut down. So if you can get the proper herbs to support that, but sex is the thing that everybody has in common. You know, not everybody has Crohn's disease. Not everybody has cancer. Not, thank God. You know, not everybody has, but everybody has sex. So I just felt like that was the best way for me to reach a bigger, broader group of people, and then marketing it in a way, calling it Hot Rocks, spelled R-A-W-K-S, having flames, having a black bottle with red logo, you know, because every other natural herbal supplement looks like the same, a green and tan bottle at Whole Foods. Not anywhere else can you get it. They're not marketing or advertising to these people who are sick.
Preaching to the choir.
They're right? Preaching to the choir. So I combined my marketing knowledge from Harley Davidson and put it into these high quality, high vibe products. And as you know, I was able to help a lot of people who never would have ever tried natural herbs and who turned their life around from it. And I'm doing the same now with Be True Wellness, because I've taken this plant that has a horrible stigma, that even I had a stigma to it, and marketing in it different. This is different than Hot Rocks, because it's not, I don't want it to be black and red and fiery, because that's what everybody connotates cannabis with. So if you can make it, we call Be True Wellness is like the Bed Bath and Beyond of hemp products, because it's so clean and so almost medicinal looking, which is going towards people who, you know, Johnny Smith, who's standing in line at CVS to get his opiate prescription filled, is not probably going to go look at what miraculous benefits of CBD. But if he sees something packaged with an OTC label on the back, meaning it's over-the-counter, because we do use menthol in our products, so we're able to be sold as over-the-counter next to aspirin. You know, and it's marketed in a way that makes them say, this could be an alternative. This helps me with pain. I'm sorry I'm rambling about this, but it's hard to answer in a short answer. But I want to appeal to people that normally wouldn't go searching for these things. How else are we going to help change the world?
Right. When everyone's been so programmed and conditioned with what to eat and pills to take and all that, I think it's been brilliant and strategic and such an awareness raiser to present something to the public that they would find appealing and not preachy and not like, you need to eat right, like that. Very well done.
Thank you.
And I'm excited about how you're raising awareness and consciousness, if you will.
Consciousness.
That's a word that we laugh about between ourselves.
Consciousness.
When we've been to retreats and around sort of, it reminds me of the dogma and rules and judginess that we got away from with our upbringing. We saw so much of that at health retreats.
I couldn't believe it. And they're so cliquish and dogmatic, like you said. And how in the world can you sit there and you say you're a healer and you help people and you sit there and you judge people for maybe, I don't know, for what they eat or what they look like or because they're not wearing your kind of yoga pants? Come on. How is that conscious? It's so unconscious. It's like, wow, I just blows my mind. And some of those very same people would be like, you're advertising your raw organic supplement on Playboy Radio, on Sirius, or you're going to be on Fox News. And oh my God, like you're going to go in front of all of those people and talk about. And I'm like, of course, they're people. I want to help them. And they're not going to come into Whole Foods. They're not going to come to a raw food retreat. You know, how else are we going to help people? How else are we going to raise the vibe or the consciousness, rather? And I'm always very careful to say consciousness because I'm not. I'm working on it every day trying to get there. But, you know, it's like it blows my mind.
And so speaking of that, we've also had a shared experience of being raised Jehovah's Witness and neither one of us are in the religion anymore. And we've both had a lot of spiritual aha moments and changes in perspective. And I love it that I have you to talk to and grow with as we grow in our own perspectives on the universe and how it works. How has that journey been for you out of being a Jehovah's Witness to consciousness?
Oh, gosh. You know, I mean, it's been a journey for me. And, you know, I got away from that when I was 22, I think. I got disfellowshipped. So in that religion, it's kind of like being excommunicated. And once they kick you out, basically because your lifestyle or your whatever choices you're making are not in line with them. And then the only way that you can get back into the flock, they call it, is to come back to their church repetitive times and then write a letter to get their mercy. Mm-hmm. And then a group of imperfect men say that it's okay for you to come back into the flock and then you're lifted and then everybody will talk to you again. I was disfellowshipped when I was 22 and I've never been back. It is what I love about, I always like to talk about what I love. What I love about that religion or my experience is it taught me how to be different. It taught me that it was okay to be different and to be comfortable in my own skin. So that, for that, I'm thankful.
I agree.
You know, I'm thankful that it taught me how to stand up and speak in front of a group of people because they have, even kids get to get up on stage and they call it the Theocratic Ministry School. And I think that that helped us be brave to talk in front of people, whereas most kids are shy about that kind of thing. So I want to go ahead and say I'm grateful for some of the things I learned. Everything happens for a reason. One thing I love about you and I is we were never bitter about it. I've met a lot of ex-Jehovah's Witnesses that are extremely bitter.
Yeah.
And they're hateful and they condemn them. And I just feel like once you do that, then you're the same exact vibration as the people who condemn you are. You know, I just understand that why they do the things they do is out of what they think is love. You and I both know that's not really love. But if that's what they think is out of love, you know, then I have to let it go. And I really never got bitter. I never got angry about it. And I lost half of my family. You know, they don't speak to me. They haven't spoken to me in 20 years. My relationship with my mom was even compromised for a couple of years. She came back around and she's, you know, one of my best friends now. So I'm blessed to have her in my life. But the half of my family just stopped talking to me and I lost them. And I really thought all these years I was fine with that, you know? But very recently, I had an epiphany and I realized I had some pretty severe abandonment issues from that. And it's crazy for me to even admit that now at 41 years old. It's taken me this long to realize. I think I just buried those feelings and said, it's just, it is what it is. You know, and everybody always said, why don't you just write the letters and come back in? You don't have to keep going to the church, but you won't be disfellowshipped anymore. But I can't do things. I'm sorry. I can't do things just for surface. That's fake to me.
Right.
And I'm only going to do something all or nothing, and I'm not going to go and pretend to be somebody I'm not to have people talk to me again. But yeah, I had to really deal with the fact that I had some pretty big issues from that. I mean, losing my family who I was so close to from since I was a child. Mm-hmm. One of my cousins is like my sister growing up, just stopped talking to me overnight. I mean, she was in my wedding, you know, and I still haven't spoken to her in 20 years. I saw her at a funeral once. After a few beers, she gave me a hug, but that was it. You know, it's just like, so I think that I've come a long way in the aspect of being able to not be bitter about it. But I also think that I shoved it a little too much to the side and didn't deal with the emotional ramifications that I did have from being excommunicated like that.
Well, you've come a long way. And I think that we share growing more loving and being more in our hearts and less in our head about spiritual things and less time trying to intellectualize spirit,
mm-hmm.
more time feeling it and being love, which is not an easy thing to do, but I think we get a little bit better at that all the time. So I'm proud of you.
I am proud of you. And I love what you just said. I love what you just said, because I think that that's what's wrong with most, I'm not going to say all, but most organized religions. They focus too much on intellectualizing spirit. Mm-hmm. And then that's losing the point of what spirit is. You know, you're not supposed to dissect it and analyze it and have all of these things that, you know, external things, like you said, in your head. It's so much deeper than that. It's something I'm still learning. I'm on the path.
Me too. And do you have any words of wisdom if anyone is trying to overcome any kind of fear-based or negative belief system or undo, reprogram any kind of old programming that no longer serves them? From your experience, you got any advice for anybody out there going through that?
Find a support system that's not negative. You know, so many people, misery loves company. And, you know, there's a lot of ex-Jehovah's Witnesses that are disfellowshipped and they all get together and drink together and cry together.
Oh, yeah.
And they bash the religion and they bash their families. That's not helping you.
Nope.
And that's not going to help you get over it. And I use that as an example, but it can be with anything that's like that fear-based. People go and join other groups of, like I said, the same vibration, equal negativity.
Yeah.
So find a support system that's really positive, that you can focus on the good things and move forward. Don't hang around a bunch of people that want to complain and be negative about it, because you're not going to be able to move past the pain.
Very well said. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm going to want you to come back in the healing room and let's do a lot of conversations like this, because I could just keep you here forever. And I love our talks and I feel like they're helpful.
Yes.
For me, they're helpful for anybody who might be able to listen to them. And so I do hope that you'll come back and we can have part two and part three and part four.
Oh, part forever, most definitely. And is now the time I can do a quick shameless plug?
That's what I was going to say. How do people find you and learn more about you and learn more about your products?
I think it's best to send them to my website, betruewellness.com. Now, Be True is spelled BETRU. There is no E at the end. So it's BETRU wellness.com. Just remember, it works so good, it's too good to be true. I know it's corny, but that is where that came from. So, sorry. So it's betruewellness.com. And then, of course, all of our social media handles are at betruewellness.
Well, I know they're going to want to check that out. And I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. This is incredible. I'm coming back for sure.
Keep on healing, Julie.